landlords are stupid. Every real estate office has some framed five diamond president's award thing by the desk. Every hotel check-in has some gold circle service thing. Every car salesman's a platinum jubilee winner. And it's all a big jerk-off. It is. The hotel sucks. The real estate person is stupid. And the only thing the car salesman is good at is ripping you off. And why? Because awards don't mean a goddamn thing. It's stupid. They're all stupid. All the award shows on TV. Honestly, it is beyond me that we feel the need to set aside a night to give out these Jagoff bowling trophies 6 times a year so all these people can pat each other on the back about how much money they're making boring the piss out of half the world. And if I hadn't already won all these awards, I would not be talking like this. I'm just, sick of all these actors and, I don't know why we're so fascinated with actors in this culture. They haven't got a thought in their stupid bedhead hairdo mini brains. Why? We must honor this man. Why? He pretended to be Bob Johnson. He's a genius, I tell you. It's genius what he's doing. Playing dress up and pretend is not genius, ladies and gentlemen. It's not genius. Roll the cameras, put on these clothes, stand there, ready? Say what we told you to say. Fantastic. He did it. Give this man a huge golden trophy. He's a goddamn genius. Walking down the red carpet in these ridiculous outfits like they're senators from Krypton. It's just so stupid.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is episode number 17. Once again, I'm your host, Travis, and I'm joined once again by Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
And we have a special guest in studio this time. It's our good friend, Jeff Garcia from Deep in the Horror of Texas.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, Jeff, we do the other podcast more or less based on horror movies and things like that. So, yes.
Horror movies. The first time you told me the title, I thought it was prostitution or sex or porn or something.
Aaron?
Deep in the horror.
Like, yeah. What?
You've been talking to Aaron, I can tell. Yeah.
Aaron's still lost in that.
Yeah, we're about, eight or nine episodes in, and he still thinks it's about horror.
He still rubs one out in the bathroom before y'all start
yes.
recording?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. It shouldn't take them that long.
Yeah. But we got a new episode coming out pretty soon, next week or two, right?
Yes.
Jenna Jameson, right?
Oh, I wish.
That would be again, oh, so you got to settle for China.
Again. Horror. Horror.
Horror.
Have you seen Jenna Jameson lately?
Or China. So what do we got coming up on in the next episode of Deep in the Horror, Texas?
I honestly don't know.
And that right there is worthwhile checking it out. Right
yeah.
There.
Yeah, we have definite priorities for the next episode.
Yeah. No, we got Friday the 13th stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah, Friday the 13th stuff.
March is coming around, so we're doing, Leprechaun?
Leprechaun.
We're
going to
talk a little bit about
Patty's
Leprechaun.
Day.
Yeah. Not the new one, though, but the
other
one.
Oh, yeah.
And just some other fun stuff that we do for the episodes here. So we do quick hit reviews, previews for what's coming out soon, and just other news, things like that for the horror-related genre.
Yeah.
You can find us at deepinthehorrortexas.podbean.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/deepinthehorrortexas. So yeah, check us out if you're a horror fan, if you like the genre, check us out and tell us how we're doing.
It would be greatly appreciated.
feedback. All right, Chris, how you been?
All right.
That's why we don't keep him around. See that?
Hey, it's your fault. If you wouldn't have stopped at that red light, you would have only had one Mexican in the back of your trunk. Now you're stuck with two tonight.
That is true. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. God damn it. I don't need any yard work done. I'm sorry, people.
Ever since we did the yard work on the top of your head.
Yeah. I was told it would grow back. Okay. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you're still with us. But if you want to, hear our previous episodes, you can catch us at popculturerewind.podbean.com and also find us on facebook.com/ Pop Culture Rewind. We just released our last episode, which we talked about forgotten childhood movies, which I thought that came out, you know, pretty good. So
yeah, it was a really fun episode.
Yeah, we got some good feedback on, or not feedback, but interactions through IMDb. I posted up the link on there.
Nice.
And got some nice little back and forth from some listeners chiming in on their favorite childhood memories that isn't really around anymore. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Actually, yesterday, you can go to YouTube, and we just I just released that episode with video cues and to go along with what we're talking about. So
did either one of y'all mention Cujo?
No.
That's my forgotten childhood movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that made me scared of dogs forever. And was, pintos.
But what was like your earliest like cult like your film that you just loved the shit out of, probably watched over and over 100 times? Being young.
Being young? Ugh. I'd have to say the original Ninja Turtles.
Yeah? Sweet. Yeah. Rad. Stuff that VHS in there all day. Had the rewinder set aside specifically for it.
Hold on. Rewinder? You must have came from a privileged house. I have had what I have in Travis's hand right there, a pin. That's what I had. Just click, 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 click.
You poor bastard.
Yeah. That's old school.
I did that for audio cassettes. They're the put the little the pencil.
The pencil, the rewind it.
Yeah.
Respool.
Yeah. Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about on that one.
Yeah, on that one. I actually found my old audio cassette collection the other day. It was actually fun.
Yeah. Like, did it even still work? Or no, let me ask, could you actually still play them? Did you have something you could actually play?
I have some areas still playing. Really? I actually have an old school cassette deck that has the two decks.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
I'm rocking it, dude.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like cool. I can jam out, you know.
Well, because back in the day, one was to play and one was to record.
Yep, so you can dub your own, make your own mixtape.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how you did it back in the day.
Had to. I mean, you didn't want to listen to the entire Black Album, so you wanted to mix in a little bit of old school Metallica into
right?
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Say you can make a cool, perfect mix and impress the listeners in the vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's how you do it.
Before pirating, it was this guy.
Yeah.
Actually, the other way to do that, was you actually had to hook up your the radio to the tape recorder.
Oh man, I hated that.
So you had to wait for the right opportunity
to play the song
and then click record.
Yeah.
And God. then it always pissed you off because they would talk at the very end or at the outro of it. Yeah. God, you motherfucker! You ruined a perfectly good recording. Which still sounded a little fuzzy and messed up anyways.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
My radio had a built-in mic, so I was my own DJ.
Oh, God.
This is DJ Chris coming at you live! Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
Now, here's Depeche Mode.
All right, so before we get into this week's episode, I want to do a quick pop culture pause and talk about some current happenings or news that's been coming out lately. Actually, today, matter of fact, we got some sad news. I hate to have to report this, but we found out that Leonard Nimoy, he passed away today, age of 83. Of course, I don't have to say, you know, what he meant to the pop culture world, sci-fi, you know, Mr. Spock, Star Trek. Of course, I'm going to have a fondness for Galvatron from Transformers, the movie. He did the voice for him, so
awesome.
Partial to that myself.
Sentinel Prime in the last... In,
yeah, he did the voice for Sentinel Prime. They kind of brought him back to the franchise on that. You got any thoughts on that?
I was at work, and I was on Facebook. I was busy all day,
yeah.
And it kind of came as a shock. I'm over there sitting, you know, eating lunch, and mm-hmm. I see the CNN news, and they're talking about this and that, and, you know. And then I see the Nimoy death, and I was like, oh, man. And the main reflection I reflect on is that my dad was a huge Star Trek. Mm. You know, he was a big Trekkie, so we always watched that TV show. I never really got into Next Generation, so I wasn't a huge Picard. I was always a Kirk fan. But Spock was just the shit in my world. You know, mm-hmm. he was always like, you know, the science officer, you know. But I remember going to, like, the theater with my dad, and, like, we actually saw, like, quite a bit of Star Trek in theater. So I always have those memories.
Oh, okay.
So it was awesome. So, like, when Shatner kicked the bucket and was killed by Malcolm McDowell, so famously, yeah, I was in the theater and I got to see these things live because that was like one of the truest sci-fi movies my dad was like happy to go see. And I was like, oh, shit, dude.
You know, one of the first, well, not the first, but one of the earlier recollections I have of watching a movie in a theater was Star Trek IV.
Mm.
When they went to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was my first introduction to, like, the movie verse of Star Trek. Because I was still young at the time, but of course, that was already in pop culture just in general, so you knew who the characters were. like, who doesn't know Vulcan Death, you know?
Oh, the Vulcan Death Grip.
Yeah. In the sign, you know, yeah. You know, live long and prosper.
Yeah.
You know.
Huge sci-fi icon. You know, yeah. Huge. I mean, I think I would actually put Spock above Kirk as being so globally renowned.
Yeah, I agree.
Or
yeah.
Known, sorry.
Yeah. Chris, you got anything?
Unfortunately, I was not a Star Trek fan.
Yeah?
I was leaning more towards the Star Wars stuff at the time. So I know him mostly from Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
His cameos and his cameos in other stuff, like him being him in the episode of The Simpsons where they did the monorail.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, yes.
Freaking favorite. And I think he came out on Futurama.
I was about to say Futurama. He was the head. He was, yeah. They had his head in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because they can do that because he's such a recognizable figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him being so creepy as hell in the Body Snatchers film, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We played opposite of Donald Sutherland and stuff. He was that creepy doctor, man, that you just, like, you didn't know to trust him or not, but he just played that character so well.
And of course, he's always going to be Spock. And oh, yeah. I love the fact that they brought him back
in the
reboot there, and or the retelling, or
oh, yeah,
however you want to call it. Yeah. But he brought such, I think, notoriety to that to the new franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean. And it's sad that he's gone, but I mean he lived long and prospered.
Yeah.
And prospered. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So rest in peace, Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy. But moving on from that, there was still in the realm of sci-fi and in other franchises, nice little announcement last week, just a few days ago, for the Alien franchise.
Oh wow, yeah.
It's kind of funny. There was the director of Chappie, Neil Blomkamp.
Blomkamp. Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
South African, I think.
Yeah. But he directed a Chappie. He directed Elysium. Everybody knows him for District 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some good notoriety, some good films under his belt.
Do you remember when he was actually signed on to direct the Halo movie back in the day?
No.
He was actually signed on, and then it just went nowhere, I guess. Obviously.
Right, yeah. No, I don't... I mean, I could see him doing...
Yeah.
Just because he's got such a... he's got the sci-fi down, but he's got, like, the grittiness.
Yeah.
A certain aspect of the grittiness, too, that you don't really see in sci-fi movies that works.
At all, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
The news comes in weird. I mean, first, there was a big spill of just information. Oh, he's got all these drawings. He has all this artwork.
He tweeted them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all it was.
And
yeah.
We're like, okay, this is the Alien movie that could have been or would have been or should have been, all this stuff. But then out of nowhere, just like, oh, it just got confirmed that Alien 5 is going into production and he's going to do it and he's all about it. But then all these other rumors came in like, oh, he's going to totally not involve Aliens 3 and 4.
Yeah, that was the big... Well, when we first heard about it, it was just going to be like a standalone. It wasn't going to continue Prometheus or anything like that. It didn't have nothing to do with that. It was just going to just a standalone film. And I think what was it like the next day or two? Then he said it's just going to be a sequel to Aliens.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, now you got my attention.
But now he's saying that he's not going to neglect. He's going to somehow chime into the continuity of 4 and 3 and 4 2 somehow. I have no idea.
Yeah, because that came out after. At first they said it was going to be sequel. Then they said it was going to be.
When you see the drawings and you see like fucked up Hicks, you know, from like the acid burn in the end of Aliens.
Oh, I didn't see that picture. No, the only thing that I saw as far as his sketches and drawings was that the image of Sigourney Weaver
within the Xenomorph.
Yeah, like she's got the mask on.
Yeah,
she reminded me of. You ever see the show Farscape?
No.
There's a character called Scorpius. He's like the main villain of that show. But he had a mask like very similar to that, like on the front where it was like a mask, but it was the big eye holes and everything. But anyway, that's what that reminded me of. But apparently that was what got the studios to say, okay, you can have a film.
Yeah, I think to keep the franchise alive, I think it's a great idea what he's trying to pitch. I mean, there's so much story and wealth that was in the original Aliens. I don't really understand why David Fincher went to the Aliens 3 concept of going back to the lone survivor, one lone alien being hunted down by, all, you know, that whole gimmick that was played on Alien 3. Then Alien 4 was so beautiful, but it was such a far reach of, like, the resurrection of Sigourney Weaver's character and Ripley just constantly being cloned and making this humanoid xenomorph. It was just kind of, like, a far stretch. And I don't think the...
Resurrection was more, like... a result of the storytelling for part three.
It reminded me of like Jason X. It was like a real huge reach, you know?
Yeah.
The character's dead. We got to resurrect it. What do we do? And it's like, thought this random. But when you go back to it, it's still a really strong standalone film that ties into the Alien, quadrilogy.
You're talking about Resurrection?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, definitely Alien sequel, I guess we'll call it that for now. I'm looking forward
to
it.
Yeah, hyped. See something with that.
Yeah. Real quick, I wanted to mention one thing, because apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger said he's going to be, not besides Genesis, there's going to be another one, and he's going to be in that one as well.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Are y'all following the Genesis?
There's like a CGI'd version of his younger self from Terminator 1 that the old Arnold's going to be fighting in the movie.
Really? Well, you know, we know what they're doing with Genesis. I found this out not too long ago. As far as the plot goes,
okay.
Apparently, the current Schwarzenegger, he actually goes back to 1984 when the first Terminator appears in the first Terminator movie.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of overlap from the first movie, and he's basically going to stop his former self, the younger self, from doing what he did in the first movie.
To intervene.
Yeah, he's going to intervene and stop him from doing anything.
Yeah.
So basically, what they're doing, they're trying to Days of Future Past it, and they're gonna wipe out Terminator 1 and 2.
Jesus.
Which is stupid, because why? Yeah. I like Terminator 1 and 2. It's part 3 and 4 you could probably get rid of, but... Yeah, why get
part
rid of...
Part 4.
Yeah.
Part 3 was alright.
Rise of the Machines?
Yeah.
What's part 4?
Salvation.
Oh, okay.
I like Salvation up until the end.
I like Salvation, but I hate that it has to tie into everything. I hate that you have to... I wish they could do Terminators that just... Was it
standalones?
Yeah,
kind of standalones. Yeah,
because it was cool because the Avatar guy was like the Terminator who didn't know he was a Terminator, all that kind of stuff. I mean, there was really cool things that worked in the film, but when you had to tie in Hicks and then John Connor, it was just like, I'm sorry, not Hicks, but Kyle Reese.
Oh yes.
Sorry.
We're talking about aliens
and Terminator.
But
fuck it, just do Aliens versus Terminator.
Boom.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, standalone movie right there. Yeah.
That would sell tickets.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, let Disney buy it.
No, it'd be rated G or something. But anyway, that was something I saw on the internet, so I just felt like throwing that out there.
Not looking for
Chris,
it.
You got anything?
I read a couple of days ago, Robert Downey Jr. leaked from his personal page that Marvel is making an announcement next week. Which is probably this week, depending on what time the listeners are listening in. So if anybody that hasn't followed or didn't hear last episode's pause, methinks there's going to be a bonus scene at the end of the movie with Spider-Man, introducing him to the Marvel Universe, which will bleed into Civil War.
Yeah.
God, that means they're keeping a tight lid on what casting. You know what I mean? They were talking about like Crispin Glover, if they went the Miles Morales route. And I haven't heard...
Well, if it's just Spider-Man, it's under the mask.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
if
true.
It's just...
True.
If it's a,
just
if
like
it,
Thanos. Just
if it's,
a,
if, it's,
CGI,
if, it's
just
a tease, if it's a tease, perfect. You don't have to do... I do hope that if this is the case, and just for Spider-Man, Marvel, just in general, I hope they keep the costume from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Because
I think...
It. Yeah.
Oh, God,
yeah.
That was just... That was probably the only thing I liked about Amazing Spider-Man 2. But anyway. There's not a whole lot about it.
And Gwen dies.
Spoiler alert, if you didn't see it coming. Anyway. Jeff, you had something too?
The producer, Avi Shankar, who's done a lot of these cool little spin-off short films like Dirty Laundry with Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
He did the Venom one with the Ryan Kwatan from True Blood.
Yes. Yeah.
So we had all these cool little short films, and he comes out with this awesome one last week, or not even like 3-4 days ago. It was Power Rangers.
Oh, I saw that with James Vanderbeek.
Oh, he's the one that did those
he's
other
the
ones?
One did
those ones. Wow, I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it was like, I kept thinking he was going to do a Dread one. He kept saying, I'm going to do a Dreads fan, you know, short film. And I was always waiting for that to see if they got the guy who did Dread last film to come back and do that and reprise it. But Power Rangers was just like a... I think I saw Iffy, like, mention it on Facebook. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out later, Next thing you know, like, 3 days go by. I haven't checked it out. And it's just gone. Saban, the people that own Power
Rangers. Oh, they actually pulled it.
They pulled it off YouTube.
Wow.
They pulled it off Vimeo. So now it's like, if you didn't download it when it was up there, it's like, it's kind of gone. I'm pretty sure you can find it. I mean, once it's on the net, it's there forever.
Yeah.
But
Daily Motion.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was pulled.
Yeah.
But I heard...
It was under copyright infringement. They went and just pulled it. They've been attacking Joseph Kahn. Joseph Kahn just watched... he directed the film you just watched recently, the Detention film. So
oh, really?
He directed that short film.
Really?
So he's been getting, like, fucking, I guess, fucked with by Saban.
Saban.
They've been on his ass.
Or
so
Saban,
like, yeah. Yeah, they're going after him. He's like... If a kid draws a picture of a Power Ranger and gives it to you, is that copyright infringement? He's like, I didn't make no money off of this project.
It's a fan film. Yeah. It's a project. Yeah. I mean, it's a passion project or whatever. There you go. Yeah. And
they're being brutally attacked for over there. In social media, they're being like,
Well, I've been, when it hit online, my Facebook blew up. I saw all kinds of responses to that one, and it was all, there's like 50-50 for Torn. People either loved it or they were against it because of the violent nature of it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch any of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when I saw it, I was liking the vibe of it. I personally thought, and this is just me not being like old or whatever, but I think the violence wasn't necessary. Like, you could have told the same story without it being over-the-top gore like what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the fact the futuristic version of it and the more the darker, grittier...
realistic.
I thought it was just an awesome idea. It's a direction you never saw, could ever imagine watching the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, like, if you see the 90s Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in a movie form, those action scenes, they're going to fall so flat.
Yeah.
So at some point, you have to raise the bar to make it relate to what we're seeing now, what's normal to us now. So it made a lot of sense.
And it's weird because the fence for that was, come on, we're the fans of this franchise were 20s and 30s. Yeah. We've seen worse on TV now, so get over it,
Yeah.
The opposite of that has been, this is still tied to a current running kids franchise. It's still on right now. And
oh, yeah, I think a Dino Thunder when I saw
it. Oh, yeah,
I
forgot about that.
What?
Yeah, so it's... I guess I can see their standpoint on that, but at the same
time... For adult fun, it hit the mark.
Yes, yeah.
I thought it really did.
But from a corporate standpoint, for Saban to pull it, maybe I can see there... Because it's not going to be about copyright infringement, because there's people who do fan films all the time on YouTube.
I mean, I think somebody just released... They worked on a Dragon Ball Z fan film.
I saw that.
Yeah. 2 years in the making.
That's in the related videos when he...
And that's better than half the films that come out in theaters right now. And I think that's what people are losing grasp on is just because your corporate idea is what, puts up the tent poles doesn't mean it's always the best idea.
Yeah, and I read a couple of responses on there or reactions and saying it's a nice what if.
Definitely.
Think of it like that. Just it's a little what if tale. It's
a fun dream sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I mean, it's a fun some of the things in there.
It's a fun 15 minutes. That's why I saw
it. Yeah, it was different. And
that first person scene at the very beginning, I was like,
with it kind of flashing out and everything.
That was awesome.
Yeah. If we get more of that kind of stuff, and if they can actually get funded, because that's what a lot of people are saying. Where's the money? Give them the money for the show.
And a lot of the directors and even the major producer, Avi Shankar guy, says, we make movies. When we make money, we put them into these passion projects because that's what we want to do. We love filmmaking, and we love having fun with the things we grew up with.
And it's just in general, when I was watching that, I was like, this is a fan movie.
Yeah.
Like, a fan did this. And this looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, without a full backing of a studio with millions and billions of dollars.
Yeah. Shit, if Vanderbeek's willing to do it for free, fuck him. He's a Red Ranger. Like, I don't care.
I think the guy, the Joseph Kahn guy, he just did the music video for Blank Space for Taylor Swift video. It had 588 million views since its release. And he goes, thank you guys. I think you guys are pretty sick of me, though, because just the Power Rangers being out in 2 days, it had 10 million hits.
Wow.
So that doesn't show you that, society does enjoy these fun little rants and pop culture fun,
It's just for fun. I mean, I don't know why studios would have that big of a problem with it, but it is what it is. So y'all got anything else?
No.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for this week's Pop Culture Pause. Now let's get on to the rewind.
So hey, what happened last weekend, Travis?
All right, Chris. Well, last week we had the Oscars.
Yeah.
2015 Oscars.
Another Mexican in the group. Damn.
And we had the infamous Doogie Howser hosting, I think, yet again.
This is the first time he's done that.
Okay. Because I'm used to him, always getting a spotlight because he does, the Tony Awards and stuff like that for plays and musicals and whatnot.
Yeah.
But here he is.
What do you think of the actual... the presentation of the Oscars on TV?
I know reading after the presentation that the ratings dropped, significantly from other Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a pretty good show, but there wasn't really a bunch of laughs and gimmicks. The opening dance number and everything was pretty funny. You had Jack Black and the girl from Pitch Perfect come out and do a couple of scenes with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny, but for the most part, there wasn't really too many laughs.
It seems like it's just repetitive. It's like every year it's kind of like...
Start with song and dance, and then
lame
joke. Hey, let's point out all the foibles of all the people that are in the audience and make everyone uncomfortable. All right, now y'all are ready. Yeah, let's give out this crap.
Yeah. I heard that they're doing a lot of pot shots to the superhero movies.
Jack Black did this one gimmick where he was just talking about tentpole movies and superheroes. Like, it's the majority of like what we see now in cinema.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. It is hard to actually point out like the big movies that have dramatic or comedic or, you know, hit those really high tones, because everything is pretty much, you know.
Well, okay, so they're basically saying there's, for all intents and purposes, there's so many blockbuster like popcorn movies for summertime, like those superhero movies and or sci-fi flicks, things like that, that it's kind of overtaking like the
maybe just not holding that Academy Award standard that, you know, that the I guess films used to be, you know, the film area used to be flooded with, you know.
Yeah.
You'd get a Woody Allen film or a Francis Ford Coppola film or something like that, but now we're getting, you know, you're getting J.J. Abrams films, you're getting, I mean, where's Spielberg? I mean, where's he been, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I guess a lot of those high note films are just kind of being overshadowed by these blockbuster temple films.
But even then, when I look at, we'll say the Marvel films, you know, they're not just fluff. I mean,
I thought Captain America Winter Soldier should have got nominated for something. Storytelling itself. Like, there's a certain point in a lot of these superhero movies where you can forget that it's Marvel and it's a comic book off the rack, and you just invest in the characters for what they are and the story that they're in. And if you're gonna have those goggles on, that, oh, it's Marvel, I'm gonna just already have a predetermined notion before I even look at the first 5 minutes, fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
But like, you're never gonna get like an award winning like nod for like Transformers and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's a fine line between that world. That's why it was kind of interesting that the film that did win some big awards was Birdman.
Yeah,
you know, it had those plays that, you know, the actor that kind of had the Batman kind of feel. I mean, it was neat because it kind of did walk that superhero line, but also real life, and had a lot of fucking grit in it too.
So, what do you think is, I don't want to say more important to a director or anything, but you know, you could, like, you just threw that out there, like Transformers ain't gonna win an award for anything, but.
He gets the bills paid.
But, yeah, I was gonna say, Michael Bay, he's like Scrooge McDuck swimming in his vault, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, what do you think is?
I think when it's the Academy Awards, it's to the point of what you're capturing on film. Is it its significance as like as let's go to anybody, Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, getting into that character and portraying it. I would love to say that Chris Evans should warrant that same, you know, acknowledgement for, you know, stepping into the Captain America's, you know, just getting that physique down. It's got to be like hard to do too. But then portraying that awesome spy thriller screenplay, the caliber they did do it, it was amazing. It was like Terminator 2 level, like fucking action and awesome story. But for it to be not acknowledged, it sucks. But I mean, like, you gotta look at what did get acknowledged, because the actor who played in Thor that does a sword, I forget his name, he was Mandela.
Oh, yeah,
he's Mandela 1 year, and then like the second he gets back to America after doing such a strong role as Mandela,
Idris Elba.
There you go.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets back, they're like, "Hey, put on this wig and put on this metal stuff and hang from this, you know, green screen, and now you're, you know, in Thor movie and you're taking on this battle cruiser ship and stuff like that." And it's like, that's gotta be hard for an actor, because you put yourself in Africa, you put yourself in this Mandela's shoes, you're filling this fucking deep void of, like, you know, revealing something that's soulful, and then here you are in front of a green screen for 3 hours so that you can slay this robotic alien, you know.
Or be
like
Ghost Rider's sidekick.
Yeah. God. It's like, oh, it's a low blow.
I mean, I don't see the difference now that there was like 20, 30 years ago when there were popcorn flicks back then, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, that were getting nominated for Best Picture. And now all of a sudden, like, it's frowned upon because it takes up all the space from, like, if enough people want to see it, it's going to take up 4 theater rooms that,
if
it wasn't that good, it would have room for, like, 2 showings of Selma or another showing of freaking Sniper.
But it's not the big crowd, you know, drawer. But I think we have shown that it can happen, because, I mean, I think every geek, nerd, awesome, you know, person that ever wanted, that always wanted to see that happen, got to see it happen when Peter Jackson won the best director for Return of the King.
Yeah.
That's huge CG film, right. Huge fantasy film, and you have great roles like Ian McKellen portraying all these awesome things. But it, in all end, it was like wizards and dwarfs and elves and stuff. But, I mean, it brought home a fucking Oscar.
I think...
Which is huge. And
to what Chris was saying here, what's the big deal? I think when it comes down to it, politics, studios getting their way or whatever the case may be. Another thing would be that, you know, in this day and age, when you have such an easy avenue to just flip on Netflix or watch something on the computer or download from Amazon or whatever...
Pirate Bay.
I don't want to talk about. So, I think what you were saying about people going into the movie theaters, I mean, selling out four screens in a row, whatever. You know what? If that's what gets the people out of the house and into the theater, that needs to be acknowledged itself.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the past 2 or 3 years, when the nominees comes out for the Oscars. I look at these lists as like, okay, I think I've heard of that one. I never heard of that one. I never heard of that one. You know, it's just like these movies. I find out about them when they're nominated.
Yeah.
You know, is it just me or I mean, is
to a degree? I mean, a lot of those films were the high caliber man, like certain screenplays or directors working on projects that were really passion projects. I know a lot of the MCU stuff is very passionate to some. You know, obviously a lot of big huge circles. But I don't know. I guess it's just a function of the Academy. You know, it's just the way they function. Because, I mean, James Gunn didn't even send a screener into the Academy. And it was still brought up to be voted for best screenplay.
Oh.
So, but he didn't get the nomination. Hmm. But it was up there on, like, do you think this should be almost an Oscar-nominated film for a screenplay? And that's amazing for, you know, especially for Guardians. I mean... Anything Marvel.
Yeah. And it got the... Anytime, like, going back to what we were just saying, like, the superhero movies, things like that, like, if there is usually a nomination, it's, like, best hair, makeup, or special effects, whatever. And I think Guardians was nominated for...
Oh, yeah. I think Captain America was also Winter Soldier, and Guardians went up against each other.
Oh, did they? Okay, yeah. I knew Guardians...
But it went to Interstellar.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry. Interstellar was just a visual effects epic. I mean, you're talking... Amazing visual effects in that film.
Did you like the movie itself, or just the visual effects?
I enjoyed the film immensely. Okay. I'm more entertained by Guardians. I'm a little entertained by Captain America too, but
it's a different vibe.
Definitely. But Interstellar was just beautiful. It was that I don't give a shit if it's not real or any of that stuff. I don't try to put too much idea. You know, it was just a fun film.
Yeah,
it really was. If you ever get a chance to see it.
I miss it on IMAX, and I just haven't...
Yeah, I know. It's a big fucking film. It's a 3-hour masterpiece in my book.
I've already checked out.
Yeah. I'd like to think that whoever's in the Academy is starting to wise up as the time goes on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think personally, for me, politically, if Heath Ledger was still alive, Dark Knight would never have been in the conversation for anything.
I think it would have. I think the way Jack Nicholson approached the role and stuff like that, I think the Joker is going to be that iconic role. I really don't think Jared Leto is going to hit the kind of notes that I think Nicholson and Ledger were, but I think Ledger's acting role was groundbreaking. I mean, you told me Heath Ledger, I go, that Brokeback Mountain guy, that guy from 10 Things I Hate About You is going to have Joker? I don't see it.
You forgot about the Knight's Tale, man.
Yeah, Knight's Tale?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the Omen.
And he just killed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. It's one of those things where it's kind of surprising on who you'd see. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that about Heath Ledger, and I don't know, because that's a big debate itself is Christopher Nolan and his movies too.
Yeah,
either you love him or you hate him as far as the movies go.
I've always been impressed by Christopher Nolan. The only film I think I shy away from is Insomnia, because it is a remake. It's a Swedish film that came out back in the day, and then he decided to remake it with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams, the late Robin Williams. It was a great film, but it was a sour note because he had just come off making Memento. And Memento was just such an original, groundbreaking film to watch that. I mean, you've never seen anything like that. Yeah. But then Nolan went off to do great things. I think Inception was another film that was like, it's a heist film, but it's told in the portrayal of like interlocking, interdimensional, you know, existential dreams and stuff. That was just amazing.
He was out there, yeah.
Yeah, like how the hell do you do it? How the hell do you have that idea, let alone, you know, write it and make it look the way it did, and he did it.
So this year's Oscar, the best movie went to Birdman. I saw this movie. Did y'all watch the movie?
It's on the top of my watch list. As soon as it comes out, well, as soon as it hits Redbox, I'm grabbing it.
Okay, that's what I say. It's out on
video on demand.
You can buy it now. It's
It got released this past Tuesday, yeah, right? Yeah, gotcha.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah. What did you watch it? Who am I asking? Who am I talking to here? Yeah.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of the director. He's done amazing films. I think a lot of the Spanish directors that come out now do amazing films. Like
what else has he done?
I think he's did 21 Grams. He did a lot of cool Spanish films. I always got him and Alfonso Cuarón mixed up because he's the guy who did Gravity.
That was last year's Best Picture, right?
But
I'm sorry, Best Director.
Best Director.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys, they teamed up with Guillermo del Toro, and they made this kind of like Reservoir Dogs when they teamed up, and they did like a kind of a Band of Brothers kind of scenario. But it was all these Spanish directors, Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, and Iñárritu guy that just won for Birdman. Mm-hmm. But I think he did Children of Men. I hope I'm not getting these guys, because these guys do such amazing films.
So they did it. They did a project together.
Oh, they kind of produce. They help produce each other.
Oh, okay.
Like when Guillermo del Toro is making, Pacific Rim, he'll bounce the cuts and stuff off these other fellow, you know, like a fellowship, you know, like mm-hmm. his buddies and shit.
Okay,
that is really cool.
So, what do y'all have any thoughts on, you know, directors with the Spanish or Mexican heritage? What do y'all think about that? It's
going to be a three-peat next year when Roberto Rodriguez releases Machete Kills in Space. Yeah, I can see it now.
I'm looking forward to that.
You're calling it now, huh? Three-peat?
Yeah, I'm calling it three-peat. Yeah. Mexicans all the way. And then next year after that, they're building the fence. Mm. I'm telling you.
I'm surprised they're not
after
right?
After three, it's over. Yeah.
Very shops.
Yeah.
They're a shut-down shop. That's it. We're not...
Yeah, it's going to be like Woodbury. They're going to be picking them off right
over the wall. I'm always interested to see what these guys come out with. I think we had one Spanish director, Alfonso Cuarón. He did Goblet of Fire. It was the one Harry Potter film that had the time traveling.
Okay. Yeah.
So they've sprawled out. I mean, you got Guillermo doing Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Iñárritu guy, man, I mean, he's done some really hardcore films like Y Tu Mama También. He's done some really amazing work.
Was it a Hispanic guy that did Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, it was Guillermo del Toro.
Del Toro, yeah.
So it's like, shit, dude. I mean, these guys are really coming out with... not just awesome sci-fi films and fantasy films, but they also have like amazing ideas to do drama.
That fucks with your head.
Different,
yeah, like Birdman is like a straight up drama, but in the heart of it, you have like this awesome supernatural, not superhuman inner conflict. You know, because you have Michael Keaton do these amazing supernatural things in the film. You don't know if it's happening in his mind or if it's happening in real life. So you're having this awesome play going on.
They did keep me guessing,
right?
Yeah, but the most overall. I thought the best aspect of the whole movie was the directing itself, with the way it filmed like one continuous shot. If y'all haven't seen Birdman yet, you haven't seen it. Just when you watch it, you don't have to really pay attention to it, but it's just you'll notice it. Like there's no cuts or anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't film it all in one thing, but you know it's
a beautiful interlocking movement throughout the whole film.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll pan off and then come back.
You get the transfer of day to night. I love that shit. That was beautiful. Yeah. That really was fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Birdman kind of took home, I mean, the wins, you know, at the Oscars.
I like a lot of films that are like Birdman, because I like movies that kind of behind the scenes of like a play, you know, stuff like that. I know there was a old Christopher Reeve film with Michael Caine called Noises Off, and it was kind of behind the scenes of them trying to get ready and geared up to put on this play, and it was always one of those old school films that I always remember as being real good. Also, I think somebody did one called Radioland Murders or something like that. It was also like behind the scenes of like a radio TV show. It was always fun when you see a good story like that.
Okay, yeah. All right, best actor went to Eddie Redmayne from Theory of Everything. Oh, this man. I did not see.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Was it?
Okay. Oh, man.
Because he played Stephen Hawking, right?
He played Stephen Hawking, and he does an amazing job. I mean, from being a little kid, teenage years, college, meeting his first love. I mean, he just carries his character so well, and it's just done, like, top-notch. I mean, you watch films like Daniel Day-Lewis and My Left Foot. It was on par of that kind of acting caliber, and I think that's the reason he really did deserve that that award, because who else was nominated with him?
American Sniper guy.
Oh yeah, Bradley Cooper was up there for it.
Yeah, a lot of people were. I don't want to say they're pissed off about that, but I mean, a lot of people were wanting him to win.
I think I wanted Michael Keaton to win for Birdman, because I really think
because
that kind of happened too. I think with Peter O'Toole, he did this last film and it got really great acknowledgement. He was going to take home that finally get that Academy Award, and he didn't win. And I think in the next 2-3 years, he passed away. And it's like, I don't want to see this happen to Michael Keaton. I think he's such a great actor. And when he pulled this fucking ace out of his hat, he did a great job.
He knocked it out of the park in the movie. Yeah.
It was like Travolta doing Pulp Fiction. You know, it was like, man, that was your, you know,
that was your comeback. Reboot.
Yeah, your reboot, dude. Yeah. That was really awesome. But this guy's new and fresh. I think he's still in his 20s. And he takes home the best fucking actor right in front of all these older senior guys. It's kind of a dick slap in the face, if you ask me. But he did a great job, so you can't really be too mad at him.
Yeah, okay.
Benedict Cumberbatch. He was up for Best Actor, too, for Imitation Game. That was an amazing fucking film.
That's about World War II, right?
Yeah. It was about the Enigma code that the German soldiers would send their, you know, they would write a report and they send it to this Enigma machine. It was just uncrackable fucking, you know, because radio waves, anybody could just pull it down, you know, like any kid with a shortwave radio was able to get these transmissions. But this scrambled machine that they used called the Enigma was just uncrackable. And we were like losing, you know, so many vital information because we couldn't pull it out of the air. But here are the Germans listening to our fucking, you know, communications. Mm-hmm. So they get this mathematician guy, and he's just crazy as shit. And he goes to this like
crazy works.
Yeah, it was just awesome seeing like how he found a way to work with just the right enough people to, overcome the situation. Amazing film and amazing story.
Yeah, I remember a few weeks ago you told me about that movie, and I meant to go check it out. I just didn't get a chance to.
There's so much depth in that film. I was really caught off guard. I didn't think it was gonna be that deep, but it was really good. It was almost on the. I put just a little under Schindler's List, but a little bit above, like Saving Private Ryan caliber kind of badass film.
Speaking of World War II, real quick, did you watch Fury?
Yes.
What did you think of that one?
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it was just brutal war, like tank war, so it was like, it was fun. It was like a man's man film, too, because it was kind of like...
There's a good cast in there, too.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for, because I see Brad Pitt, I was like, ugh.
But the funny thing is, like, the kid character wants to hold on to his innocence and his, like, humanity, and it's kind of like Brad Pitt, like, that doesn't belong here on this fucking war field, you know? It's like, these guys will rape, kill, fucking do whatever they want, and you have to kind of back their play because it's your brother, you know? Yeah. It's like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
It was a fun film.
That's another one I've been meaning to check out, too. I don't think that was nominated for anything, though.
I don't think so, either.
It was just a movie, yeah. Julianne Moore won for Best Actress for Still Alice.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that one, because I'm not too familiar with Still Alice.
She just did a really dramatic portrayal of a woman suffering with Alec Baldwin's.
Oh, yeah?
And Alec Baldwin stars with her, and it was interesting. Mm. It's one of those drama films that, you know, if you have the time to burn, you can burn it. You're not missing much. It was just a good...
Just a drama?
Yeah, it was just a real good drama.
Now, one movie I did see, and I wasn't sure how I liked it at first. I was getting kind of irritated with it, honestly, at the first. But after the movie was said and done, I enjoyed it. Whiplash.
Oh, wow.
That was... I don't know. It was interesting. I don't know. It was basically just about a kid in college in a special like music school, right?
Yeah.
And I guess everybody tries to get into this one teacher's class. And it's played by J.K. Simmons, who won Best Supporting Actor... in a movie, and I can definitely see why, because man, he's like the drill sergeant from hell when it comes to band class. You know?
What was J.K. Simmons' character in Spider-Man?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, I think that's all he really did is just mirror that role and took it into this jazz teacher's role. When he was doing that slap in the face, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Am I rushing or am I? I was like, whoa, this guy is brutal. Yeah. It was a fun film, dude. I didn't expect it to be that fucking awesome.
And then, well, I'm not going to reveal anything, but the end...
Oh, dude, it was magic. It was magical.
It's a good game of a one-upship, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I was amazed it was a Blumhouse film, because we're used to Blumhouse doing all the Conjuring and the Insidious.
Mm, yes.
So he's like the producer of all these, like, you know, scary, low-budget films, but he does a quick-budget, you know, horror films.
Yeah, yeah.
But here he is, he gives a couple of million to these guys, he does Blumhouse film... no-name people, and he gets so
J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah. But get so many Oscar noms for, like, just a shot in the dark. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, good on them, because...
Miles Teller did amazing.
Yeah, but I'm kind of sour on that guy just for a movie coming out here pretty soon.
What are you sour?
Fantastic Four.
Oh,
he's
going to
be Mr. Fantastic in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a whole other topic for...
Yeah, the jury's out on that one. I'm not sure yet.
God damn.
Who's playing Dr. Doom?
Some kid, I don't know.
Damn it.
You know what they're doing to Dr. Doom's character?
Why are they doing?
You know, he's not a ruler anymore, dictator ruler. You know what he is?
Scientist guy.
He's an internet blogger.
What the fuck?
And his like avatar name, whatever, is Doom. That's his internet name is Doom. So there's your movie from Fox Studios coming out.
Thank you, Fox.
Yeah. Shit, and now you know why Marvel canceled Fantastic Four. Because
damn, Fox should have teamed up with Sony and done the Future Foundation. Replace Torch with Spider-Man and just have the four of them together, and Doctor Doom kind of blends in the group, kind of like stuck in the middle.
Yeah, and those costumes look badass in the movie screen too. So, yeah. Patricia Arquette, she won for Best Supporting Actress.
Yay! Let's all support women. Let's give them the more money. Yeah,
Not free labor. It's not free labor laws, Jeff.
Yeah.
Not equal, that one. Whatever.
Okay, real quick, best animated movie. I was kind of glad to see this one myself. Big Hero 6 won for best animated movie. But Chris, I remember when the nominations came out, you along with several thousands of people, if not more, were upset about a certain omission from Academy Awards.
So there's 7 minutes of live footage.
Yeah,
big whoop. No. Lego Movie.
Jeff,
it's not a CG film. I mean, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not completely.
It's not completely edited. Like, it's understood, but fuck.
Yeah, dude.
If you're looking at a group of nominees and you have a huge majority of people saying, "Wait, why isn't this movie in there?" That means, you know what? The Oscar committee needs to bend the rule a little bit, or put some lube on that hole, or do something. Slide the Lego Movie in this crevice. Yeah. At least give it some kind of attention. Something.
Oh, they gave it the best song nom. That was it.
I was about to say, that should have at least won for best song, because goddamn, who doesn't know that damn song?
No, they gave it to Selma. Yeah, they gave it to...
And that's good, because that Everything Is Awesome song, Tegan and Sarah, that's like the epitome of like pop music right now.
Which
is funny, because that's the insult that they use in the movie. Yeah. But hearing it live is like, now I remember why everybody in the movie fucking hated this song.
No, don't get me wrong. I was annoyed with the song. I didn't like the song. But I know, as far as overall reactions, everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to have an award for best song in a movie, maybe you should go to the what makes a movie a movie. And that movie, that song was in that movie throughout the whole thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Speaking of, what do y'all think about giving awards to artists for best song, best original song?
I think it's a must.
It's a must.
Yeah. Because you have your best score, but then you have your best song. And I think, like, Frozen won last year, because it was like, you know, what little girl right now isn't singing the Frozen song? But then you remember 8 Mile. I mean, when Eminem wrote that song,
okay,
that fucking like put the stamp on 8 Mile.
Is it kind of weird? Because sometimes it's kind of weird for me to say like musicians are Oscar award winners. Like Eminem, it's kind of hard to say he's an Academy Award winner.
But he did, right?
Example, you think of Titanic. What do you remember most?
Do you remember the score, or do you remember the Celine Dion song?
I remember the song.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean it needs to win an award.
Any James Bond film. Who wrote a score? Name one score person that did a score for a James Bond film. No, but you can say, Adele did that one song.
Madonna did that one song.
Yeah, Tina Turner did a song. Yeah, everybody. I think best song.
What about
original song? So, that's the other thing I always...
But that, yeah, it you think of it, but I mean, does it really play into an effect of the movie itself, or just is it in credits to go along with the end credits, or
just think of the movie as having you right at the edge, and then right at the movie's over you hear that song that just pushes you over.
Yeah.
Whoop That Trick from Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen doing The Wrestler. Dude, I still play that.
That was beautiful.
That's dude, that pulls at you, dude.
Yeah.
Especially when you're watching through that whole story and then you get that 3-minute summarization with Bruce Springsteen's voice.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah,
that was a beautiful film. I forget about The Wrestler sometimes, and I actually forget how badass Darren Aronofsky made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A fucking beautiful film about a wrestler.
I know, right? Go figure.
That movie scared me from becoming a legitimate wrestler.
God damn. That was awesome.
Yeah. Don't cry, Travis.
No, right?
Yeah. No, it's...
just like sours every convention you go to. He's like, oh, man.
You were so sad.
Closer to your heart, Terminator 2. What do you think about in Terminator 2 music wise? Do you think of the score, or do you think of Guns N' Roses?
I think Guns N' Roses, but I don't think it should win. I don't think Guns N' Roses should be an Academy Award winning group.
It's an Oscar nom. I mean, best original song.
Well, that wasn't an original song. It was from their CD.
Yeah, but he's just making a point on like the way songs do stick out, I guess.
Made for the actual movie.
Yes.
All right. Well, Okay, well, I mean, that's...
I mean, I enjoy both because, yeah. I mean, you didn't have a best song for, like, American Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a best song for, you know, a lot of films.
So you think if they do...
I'm surprised best song wasn't, like, Silence from Clint Eastwood because that's what American Sniper ended with.
Yeah.
Just 3 minutes of dead air.
Some guy just comes up and stands by the mic.
Like, anybody could be an artist. Now, here, just do this for 5 seconds.
But I think they do run out of... nominees sometimes because I think last year it was only like I think the girl Karen O from Yeah Yeah Yeahs sung a song for her, the girl sung a song for Frozen, and I think there's one other song, so I was like three noms
because the rest of the year the wrestler was nominated and lost, it was only three nominees.
See? So it's not a heavy thing. I think scores are always heavy because I mean we saw Trent Reznor
win
a fucking score for Social Network,
yeah,
and that was awesome because it was like, wow, fucking Trent Reznor just won a fucking Oscar, dude. Yeah. That's awesome. Didn't think
that's different.
Well, it's a score, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you're usually seeing John Williams, all these.
When I think of Trent Reznor, I don't think of composer,
Did you hear the Ghosts album? That's all that is.
Four CDs of just sound.
Just like background noise that if you've like walked, like you're living your life and you're just walking to the elevator and you have like Ghost Number 17, you're scared shitless.
No, I is that?
It's an album.
It's a four.
A four-disc album?
Four-disc album.
Nine Inch Nails or Trent Reznor?
It's Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails. But it's mostly that, like Social Network type music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just soundscapes.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome.
Gotcha. Bonus points for knowing what that is. Yeah. Nice. This guy's all right.
I like them.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for this year's Oscars. Was there any anything else y'all want to mention about this year's Oscars? Any
Big Hero 6 was awesome, dude. I was so glad that won. I'm sorry. I took my son to go see that in 3D, and I was happy to see a movie that the first Marvel CG.
Technically, it's a Marvel movie, and it won an Oscar.
And it was
there.
Awesome.
You go.
That makes us happy.
Yeah, the fact that there have been so many animated movies over the years that it needed its own category.
Yes.
Like, I think when Up was nominated for like Movie of the Year, people started opening their eyes like, okay, this is not just a phenomenon. This is actually legitimate.
Yeah.
You know? And not even just animation, just different kind of movies other than live action in general. I remember dating someone back in the day. 30 minutes into Team America, she forgot they were puppets.
Yeah.
If the story's good, it doesn't matter how it's produced. Mm-hmm. If it's good, people are gonna like it.
You're gonna get drawn in.
Well, look at Pixar, like Toy Story 3 and Up.
I'm surprised kids survived that.
Yes. It's okay for kids. It's the adults you got.
God, man, I'm gonna look at my wife like, how are they doing this?
Like Up, the intro.
Oh, the
Up,
intro alone.
I was done by the intro.
Even before. I don't know if anybody picked up on it when Wally, when Eva's looking around,
Wally's
looking for
a good
land,
they got
she's like shooting off all the boats at once because she's fucking. I was like
freaking out,
dude. Yeah. I've never seen Pixar go this far, and then and even then I thought I think that's as far as I'll ever go. Then the first 5 minutes of Up, you're dead.
And then Toy Story 3. If you survive Up, round is Toy Story 3.
But go back to Toy Story 2 when you get Jessie's little story. That was fucking touching from back then.
Yeah.
When she's spinning around with a girl and then she's just left in like a donation box. I was like, God, that was like heartfelt. I was like,
I'm not going back in the box.
But that's nothing compared to Toy Story 3.
No, Toy Story 3.
That was an appetizer. It was a warm-up. Yeah, see if you can make it through that one.
That was hard. That was like impending death. Like, I don't know. That was deep. That was a deep, deep fucking story.
Okay, so you're glad that Big Hero 6 won?
Yes, it was thoroughly entertaining.
For me, going into the Oscars, I said it's got to be Birdman that wins. And I'm so glad that that's what happened.
Yeah.
Best director. I wanted to win for best directing, and then just the best movie of the year.
Yeah,
that's all I.
Did any of y'all see the hotel movie?
Oh, Grand Budapest.
Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
Did you watch that one?
I have it. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah.
It was good.
It was Wes Anderson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I always gotta watch a Wes Anderson film since he's from H-Town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you gotta represent, you know.
And plus the cast that he brings in.
Oh, it's high caliber shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things. It's on my list.
Yeah.
Time.
I watched it with my wife. My wife kind of like didn't really enjoy it, but the filmmaking is so done well. But you have to be in the mood for that style.
You do.
You know?
Yeah.
It's very pastels and all this kind of. Colorful.
But that's his movies, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Royal Tenenbaums.
Hyper-stylized shit, yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom? Moonrise Kingdom. Yeah, that was, it took me a while to, you know.
It's quirky but fun.
Yeah, it's quirky but fun, yeah. And they said that was pretty much his childhood. And yeah. You could tell that it kind of exuberated on screen there.
Definitely. So. It was awesome. I mean, I enjoy his films, but I definitely have to be in the mood to watch this shit.
Yeah, me too. That's the same way for me too. Okay, so, of course, with the Oscars, there's something else that always comes around every year with the Oscars. The Golden Raspberries. What? The Razzies! Yeah. So, this year, for the Razzies, it's always fun to kind of go...
Travis's kinda... favorite conundrum. Do I want to get shot or do I want to get stabbed? Which ones were the most...
fun.
Were the most picked on.
All right. So, and of course, when you say these, what one for best? No. What one for worst? That's what the Razzies are. Yep. So, do y'all follow the Razzies? I mean, do you?
No, the main one I chimed in on was last year, the year where Sandra Bullock won the Razzie for Best Actress, but then she also won the Oscar for being Best Actress in the same year.
Yes.
No, Razzie for Worst Actress.
Yes. Yeah.
Razzie for Worst and Oscar.
Worst Actress. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I got what you're saying. Yeah. She won a Razzie and an Oscar the same year. It's unheard of. It's Signing the Apocalypse.
Hollywood, right?
Yeah. Yeah. but this year we have. Worst director,
shocker,
Michael Bay, Transformers, Age of Extinction. I agree with that.
God, when was the last time Michael Bay did a good movie?
That's... Bad Boys, the first one.
Two or one? First one?
One.
Yeah.
Well, no, okay. He was on a roll for a couple years.
The Rock.
The Rock, Bad Boys.
I didn't like Armageddon.
Armageddon, you know what? You could see where he started to lose it on Armageddon. And then definitely in Pearl Harbor. That's
go
when
big or go home.
Yeah, Armageddon was the start of that.
Yeah.
Where everybody kind of had the...
I never finished Pearl Harbor. I never finished Pearl Harbor. Yeah. I think I get halfway through and I'm just like...
They kept the baby.
I don't remember the end of Pearl Harbor. So yeah.
Pearl Harbor's got a decent story, but that's for me where I can tell that Michael Bay cinematography left and Michael Bay boom, boom, pow showed up because it was like pyrotechnics were in that movie.
That's when
and it was 3.5 hours of your life.
Yeah.
Gone.
So I think for the overall agreement on that is Armageddon and Pearl Harbor were the bridge between the good Michael Bay stuff and then the bad Michael Bay stuff.
Because when he has fun, we can have fun. When he tries to be too grounded and try to make things, I don't know, like...
Grounded to the ground?
Yeah.
Grounded in the dirt.
Because I love like Con Air and stuff like that. You know?
Oh, I loved Con Air, dude.
Fun.
Hell yeah.
Tony Scott?
I'm sorry?
Tony Scott?
Was it Tony Scott?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn it, I thought it was Michael Bay.
Everybody does. Because it was the trailer made you think it was
a Michael Bay film?
Yeah. Because I think they said he produced it or something.
There you go.
I think that might have something to do with
it. Oh, I take that back. I think the last good Michael Bay movie, as gross as it sounds, I think it was Pain and Gain. Because there was a lot less boom boom and a lot more storytelling of the documentary of how they ended up from.
I thought that was a Tony Scott film.
No, you
it's Michael Bay.
Yeah. Wow, it's Michael Bay. Yeah, I was like 30 minutes, and I was like, "Is something gonna explode or is someone gonna die?" And then
if not, I want my money back.
That was fun, dude. That was a fun film.
I think that's the last Michael Bay where he put effort into actually telling a good story.
Also, for Transformers 4 was worst supporting actor for Kelsey Grammer.
I was shocked. Kelsey Grammer being a douchebag, he pulled that off very well in that movie. I think that just falls back on the whole story, that no matter who it was, if it was Kelsey Grammer or it was like the robot that's in Chappie, it didn't matter. That was going to fail because of that character. His character's
role. Did a good job in the Spindles 3, Kelsey Grammer.
Well, when we say worst supporting actor, like his list of movies is all in there. Expendables 3, Transformers 4, there's something else that he did. That was for worst supporting actor. Worst supporting actress, Megan Fox.
Oh, close.
Right film, wrong her. Yeah.
Megan Fox, what did she even do?
Teenage Mutant Turtles. April
9th. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
There you go, that's why. is she April to anybody? Like,
I don't think I'll ever revisit that film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
But that's just me.
Okay, check this out. Worst screenplay, worst picture, worst actor. All went to Saving Christmas with Kirk Cameron.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen that movie.
Was that a Lifetime movie?
Oh, excuse me. Worst screen couple ensemble was Kirk Cameron and whoever was in Saving Christmas. So, 4.
Wow.
So, yeah, so they... So
basically, Kirk Cameron shouldn't make any more movies.
Or stop advertising that he loves God so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick to your Left Behind films.
Yeah, let the Christians watch that. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel? Annie.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched it.
I had to watch it.
You had to?
I had to watch it.
You had to watch it?
I had to watch it.
Well, it is you, so yeah. I agree. Yeah, you had to watch it.
I had to watch it.
For those of you who don't know Jeff, he watches everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Cameron Diaz won for Worst Actress for Sex Tape and The Other Woman.
I didn't like Sex Tape. It wasn't even fun.
I don't like Cameron Diaz. I liked her in The Mask.
The Mask. Because she was still Latina then.
She was she was walking sex in that movie. Yes. That dress when she first debuts in it. Yeah. No? Don't remember that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Most guys think mahogany is a type of wood. Oh, was it? Not mahogany. It was a...
That was...
Monogamy. I'm sorry, I fucked up the line. Most guys think monogamy is just a type of wood.
Yeah. That would have worked if you did it. Okay, there.
Well, obviously.
All right. I like this one. The Redeemer Award went to Ben Affleck.
I like Gone that. Girl, right? Was it for Gone Girl?
Probably, yeah. But the fact that he redeemed himself from his career stump that he was in.
Bigger stump, Daredevil or dating Jennifer Lopez?
Just a Lopez.
Lopez.
Yeah, I agree.
I think his performance in Daredevil is good. I think Daredevil the movie sucked.
I hated Elektra. So Daredevil was great compared to Elektra.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my big... When I watched Elektra, I was like, why does this fucking exist? What in what world did somebody say, this is a good idea?
Boobs and size.
I guess.
We didn't, like, blur everything else. It literally just showed 2.5 hours of juggling boobs and spinning size. You're good.
You're good. They're going to show up. Trust me.
And then we evolve into Idiocracy, where the Oscar-nominated movie is ass. It's 2 hours of just an ass on the screen.
Oh, man, I love that film. God, I love that movie.
Idiocracy. That's a future telling of our
lives. I love how he just tells a story of how people would procreate then in the future. It's like this well, you know, well like-minded couple is wait until, like, it's just not possible to procreate. Meanwhile, this guy in the trailer park's got like a litter of 17 plus his fucking mistresses who have like their own litter too. I was like, wow, that's
and he lives with all of them surrounding. Yes. So it's like this huge Chuck E. Cheese trailer park lot of like all these fools, and that's
that's awesome. Good. That's where we're going. America.
Hey, well, real quick, we just mentioned Ben Affleck, Daredevil. Daredevil TV series for Netflix.
Starts next month.
April 13th?
April 10th.
April 10th. Oh, yes. Even sooner.
Yes.
Sooner the better.
Thoughts?
I'm taking my girlfriend's Netflix account. I'm gonna brush up.
I'm hoping it falls on a good day, because I hope I don't have shit going on, because I'd like to binge.
You want
to
binge watch it?
Yeah. I want to binge watch the shit out of it.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, man.
Is it cranked at 30 minutes or is it 60 minutes?
I don't know. I know that it's going to be all available at one time.
That's awesome.
But I would hope it's going to be an hour.
I hope. For the amount of time they've gone into production for it, man, I hope it's a fucking hour long episode.
Because that's...
13 hours of Daredevil? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You don't even have that much of like anything. You know, the Avengers, Iron Man, anybody. Nobody has that many hours of like fucking devoted story.
Yeah.
That's why I think it was kind of weird that they picked Peggy Carter. Did y'all finish that?
Not yet.
Hell, fuck yeah!
Was that? I want to know the Easter egg, the big Easter egg at the end of the episode. Everybody keeps talking.
Well,
about
I'm not there yet. Don't talk
about it. Do you want to know?
I want to know, but he doesn't want to, so we save it for another episode.
Are you sure? It's not that big of an Easter egg,
is it?
And it's how it's happened in the. This is pre.
Okay. Pre- do we need a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't already seen it by now.
Go ahead.
Apparently the guy, the Hannibal Lecter guy, the guy that talked a lot, he's actually someone in the comics. I forget the name of who he really is.
Okay.
He gets put in the jail. He has the Hannibal Lecter mask, so he doesn't talk, so he doesn't hypnotize anybody. And in the cell with him is Arnim Zola.
Okay.
And tells him, well, hey, don't feel too bad because you're in jail. Mm-hmm. You're in prison, but you're in American prison. American, the land of opportunity.
Oh, shit.
And so he says a few more things, but that pretty much they're planting the seeds
for the
to the Captain America story where S.H.I.E.L.D. turns into Hydra slowly but surely.
Yeah, so slowly, like in bed. Yeah,
gotcha. That awesome. And during the episode, Peggy Carter had Captain America's shield as in one of the.
Is the series over?
It was meant to be just an 8-episode series of itself, but they...
If they pick it up.
Because I watched like 3 or 4 episodes, and I still have 5 episodes on my DVR, so I don't know what's going on.
Gotcha.
So, but that means that S.H.I.E.L.D. should be coming back, too.
It's this Tuesday comes back.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
All right.
And they leaked the poster already. The other chick, the flower dress chick.
Yeah.
They show her at the post Inhuman transformation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Looks is good. Absorbing Man talked to and S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because I hear that. I keep hearing them hint that Absorbing Man's going to be the villain.
Daredevil? No, what it is, Creel. Before he's Absorbing Man, he was a boxer. And he boxed Matt Murdock's father.
Gotcha. All right.
That's what it is.
Okay. There's the tie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anything else from that?
No.
All right. You know, one thing that comes along with the Oscars, I don't know if y'all have heard of it, the Oscar curse.
The curse.
Basically, this is actors or actresses who've won an Academy Award for their great performance in, well, whatever got them the award, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, they either do...
Nothing.
Either nothing or, like, no, I don't want to say nothing, but their choices that they've done after that is just...
Poor.
Very bad.
Gotcha. Yes.
There's a very recent example of that. I think I read somewhere on Gawker a few days ago how comedy actress Monique, apparently she part of the politics, she didn't advertise the whole, hey, vote this for Oscar or whatever when the movie came out because she was on the... Wasn't she on The View or some chick show during the week that it would cut into her programming time so she didn't do all the publicity that came with the Oscar stuff?
What movie was she in?
Precious.
Yeah, Precious.
And she wound up winning it.
Yeah.
And she found out through a director friend that she's pretty much blackballed.
Wow.
Nobody wants to hire her.
Just because of that situation, how she handled herself.
Politics. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Like she's in a, she's like in an indie film that I think she literally had to, that
fund.
Was literally begged for her to do because she can't get hired for anything else.
And see, and that goes to show there's politics involved, but also that's a very good example of, I don't want to, in this particular case, the curse is kind of more,
it struck on that one. Shit.
When all is said and done, when the dust settles, she'll be a victim of the curse because we're not going to see her anymore.
Yeah.
But it's not because of she just picked bad roles or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to go over just a few examples and see what y'all think about this. Halle Berry.
Yeah.
She worked her way up to an Oscar. Monster's Ball. Yeah. And from there,
that's her fault. She should have got a boob job after Swordfish.
Yeah, well, she got paid a lot of money to show those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Well, it was Monster's Ball. It was in 2001 with Billy Bob Thornton, obviously. But then after that,
and the late Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Well, then after that, what'd she do? Like Catwoman,
Gothica.
Catwoman killed her.
Yeah.
X-Men,
and God damn it, Storm. That is not Storm. Storm is an African goddess, straight from Africa.
Yeah.
Halle Berry's not.
Rihanna wasn't available.
She's used to getting beat up on anyway. She doesn't fit perfect.
She just comes out of battle.
She's grizzled. She's grizzled, right?
She's grizzled.
Yeah. But she was a Bond girl, so I mean, that's about it. But you know what I'm saying? That's,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, she didn't really...
Oh, Cuba Gooding Jr.
That's a very good one. That's on my list,
that
actually.
That guy was so happy when he won that fucking award.
Show me the money, right?
Woo! He was all happy.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
Did he actually, because of him, did they actually invent the music to like play when acceptance speech is too long as code for shut the fuck up, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
We have 2.5 more hours to fill.
And they still run over time.
Yeah. I don't care. My speech has a soundtrack. Let me keep going.
But then after that,
a big family tree. You see my skin color.
Cuba Gooding did her. He did the, Jerry Maguire. He did great. Got the award and everything. But then what? Pearl Harbor, we just talked about that. Wasn't a good movie.
Snow Dogs, Radio. I mean,
Do you remember, was it Boat Trip?
Oh, God, Boat Trip.
Yeah. And there was a bit, that was controversial itself, too, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
He's where's he been lately? And he can't do. He can't. He's not going to be able to.
I think he's doing a TV show, but I can't even recall.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like what the hell? You know what the hell?
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr., Halle Berry, Mira Sorvino.
Wow. Yeah. Paul Sorvino's daughter.
Yeah.
She came out in Mighty Aphrodite, a Woody Allen film. She was great. She was great in that film. But she kind of...
She wasn't like... It was kind of out there. No one really expected her to be nominated, much less win. And then
she kind of fell off.
Romy and Michelle High School Reunion.
Yeah.
Replacement Killers, Mimic, which aren't bad movies per se, but you know, not, when you're looking at
Yeah.
Academy Award winning movies, you're
far
from. She
wasn't going on to like the next Meryl Streep film. Or something like that.
Exactly.
Nobody booked her because of her acting caliber. But they also ran into like certain actresses. I think when you're an actress and you fall too close to yourself, you kind of fall into that curse. Marissa Tomei.
That's another one on my list. Yes.
She does My Cousin Vinny, but she basically won an Oscar for playing herself. You know, she's from like a Jersey, New York girl, real snazzy, but that was like almost practically Marissa Tomei. It was like almost giving her a Rosie Perez, an Oscar nomination or an Oscar for being, you know, Rosie Perez.
It's like Jennifer Lopez for Selena.
There you go.
Like okay.
Was it really a stretch for her to play that character? I mean, she fit it.
What else has she done? I mean, she really doesn't have that many roles since then.
Marissa Tomei or
Marissa Tomei?
She did In the Bedroom, got us some Oscar eyes. She came out in The Fucking Wrestler. We were just talking about.
She was nominated.
She was amazing.
She was nominated for that movie, but she didn't win anything.
Yeah.
And that's where it's kind of, she was nominated.
She could be the exception to the rule.
Yeah. There you go, exactly, yeah.
Because she did, I was like her comeback film in that one.
Yeah. But Anger Management, Wild Hogs.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Okay. But let me see, what else was there? Adrian Brody.
Oh, Adrian Brody, he killed it in The Pianist. That was a magical, magical film.
I liked him in King Kong.
This is a writer guy. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he did. I mean, man, I'm sorry.
It's that nose. Like, I saw that nose. Like, oh, it's Triple H. I mean, Adrian Brody. Yeah.
Awesome.
I go back to King Kong because the movie's so damn long, but some of the action sequences in that movie are just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
God, with the Tommy gun, the insects, all that stuff. And, that's amazing. My son just seeing his eyes when the two T-Rex come out and that big battle.
Oh, yes.
That was just awesome. God, that was awesome.
Did you like Splice or Predators?
I like Splice. Predators is okay. I know Adrian Brody came on both. Splice was kind of weird. It was kind of like Species, but with Brody. That's what it reminded me of.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was kind of really close to Species.
Yeah.
Predators was kind of fun. I wish they could have had a stronger take on it because it was like, man, it was interesting. Because you have like all these different kind of badasses kind of get dropped on the planet. Even the guy who played Venom in Spider-Man 3. Came out in it too.
Oh, the kid from that 70s show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was in
Topher Grace.
Because he had Danny Trejo, he had Topher Grace, he had Adrian Brody, he had Lawrence Fishburne from Matrix. I mean, he had a lot of badass actors in that film.
But it just kind of fell flat towards the end.
Yeah,
I think. But because I really wanted to like that movie, Predators.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just.
It had the potential, it just didn't. It didn't satisfy that Predator need that we. I still think it's a great. I wish somebody, a badass director or a screenplay would come out for Predators because I think that's a really. A good vital series that needs to be rebooted.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Because I mean, I watched the first one. It's still like thoroughly entertained.
That would be cool. And I know it's been done before, but with the vision of Blomkamp doing Aliens, what if he was able to integrate a nice little tease or just a little nod or something that Predators are still a thing.
Yeah. I would like to even see it tied into even further back into Prometheus that. How the xenomorphs are like a kind of alien warfare. I wish the species of predators were actually another form of warfare for them.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I'd
like to see predators like in Mexico, you know, like the cartel having to fucking go against the predators or something like that. I mean, it's so unique because you have such like a fucking, it's predators, so you can put like the best of the best against them.
It wasn't predators. It was Alien versus Predators Requiem when they did like the Predator homeworld.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
That was
and
neat.
I wish I saw
with
more
the
of that.
And all that stuff,
yeah,
that was weird.
I wish I saw more of that because that was something I wanted to see in a Predator movie. And that was, I kind of like Requiem more than the first movie, but we're getting off topic here. One last one I wanted to mention real quick for the curse here is Geena Davis.
What did she win an Oscar for?
She won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in Accidental Tourist.
Oh, okay. With John Hurt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she did some other good movies. Thelma and Louise was in 91.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I don't think that won anything, but that was still a well-known movie. I mean, who doesn't know about that movie?
Yeah.
But then she started doing things like with Cutthroat Island, Long Kiss Goodnight.
Because she actually she was married to the director who did Cutthroat Island.
Right.
I forget his name, but that kind of rode her down the wrong path, I guess.
Yeah.
And Cutthroat Island was such a huge bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like.
And she followed up with Long Kiss Goodnight, which wasn't a bad movie, but it's not terrible, but
it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, when you can compare it to Cutthroat Island, and
yeah, you go. It was kind of like a Charlize Theron film before she was available, and Cutthroat Island was
good
kind
point.
Of like,
yeah, that's a good, yeah, yeah.
And Cutthroat Island was kind of like, man, almost like way before Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, it had a good take, it just wasn't able to carry right. But Matthew Modine, I mean, when was the last time you saw Matthew Modine in a fucking film?
Matthew Mahu?
Yeah, exactly.
McConaughey is what he meant.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. No. All right, so that's pretty much it. Oh, I was going to ask y'all, is there any surprising losses or wins from the Oscars?
I always,
not this year, but just in general. I mean, is there anybody that really kind of stands out?
I always think back to some of the really old Oscar moments that kind of get rarely mentioned. George C. Scott, when he came out in a movie called Patton, he actually refused his fucking Oscar. He won the Best Actor award, and he said, like, I don't want this. I don't want to be part of your meat parade, is, I think is what he actually quoted. So he actually said no to that. Marlon Brando won an Oscar for The Godfather. He sent a Native American up there to accept the, not to refuse the award, saying that he doesn't care for the way that California has treated Native Americans, and he refused the Oscar. So it's like standout moments like that. Kind of like, wow, that's kind of like
the presentation itself.
Yeah, it's neat. But what I always think back to is the hosts. Like when I was like a teenager, a young kid, I always remember Billy Crystal.
Right.
Being like the big host for the Oscars. You know, you'd have that day, and you're like, oh man, Billy Crystal's just huge. And you see him like be brought up in the Hannibal Lecter thing.
Yes, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It's those cute, fun, quirky things that you don't see done really. I mean, Doogie does a good job, but I don't think it's held to the same caliber. Especially when we went with like Ben Stiller hosting the Oscars one year. I mean, that was always like the fun.
What?
Wasn't it Anne Hathaway and
yeah,
and the Pineapple Express guy?
James Frank.
Everybody had a big problem with that one because it's just so awkward.
Well, was that one? Yeah, that was very awkward. Well, I remember there was that one and the year with Ricky Gervais.
Yes,
because that was an Oscar that he hosted, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah.
Because it was him, and then it was Anna Hathaway, James Franco debacle, them two together, and it was like Hollywood. They're trying to go for a young.
Did Jackman do it one year?
Yeah,
he did the Oscars. Okay, because it's always tricky because them with the movie awards on MTV.
I think that was the year Hugh Jackman had won Sexiest Man Alive, and that's why he got picked
to do the Oscars.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems like over the last few years, like the Oscars, they try to get like younger Hollywood to host the Oscars, and it's not like
they do the song and dance man or woman or you know
because
I mean I think they used Ellen DeGeneres one year too
but it's like they don't have the established Hollywood person to like Billy Crystal
that's not the problem. They're trying to get a mainstream audience, yet they don't have mainstream movies in their categories.
I see that.
That's a good point.
That's the
problem. Yeah.
Hey, everybody goes and watches Marvel movies. Ain't none of them in the categories. What the fuck?
And that's why
all the kids watch fucking Hunger Games and freaking Twilight. Ain't none of that shit in there.
Yeah, also...
So,
that's why the movie awards on MTV get...
On the same side of that...
I'd rather prefer watching MTV.
On the same side of that, you have like Young Hollywood like hosting it. Trying to do like relevant humor to what's going on, but look at the audience; they're all old Hollywood.
Yeah,
you know, old people like doing all the voting and you know the board and all that stuff. So there's got to be something that's gonna merge the two together.
I think time will eventually push it out. I mean, the way we see Peter Jackson, I mean, these noms are gonna eventually have to be pulled the way they need to be pulled. I mean, y'all are right.
The only other option, if they really wanted to go ridiculous, is to have like the Oscar committee have 60% of the vote and just leave the fans to do the rest.
I mean,
so they kind
of
combine it
so they could feel like they're a part of it. And
but that's the big thing with them. They want to like, oh, we're the Academy. Yeah, we set the line.
It's
the
an elitist. It's an elitist.
Yeah,
thing.
We set the standard of blah blah blah. It's like whatever. But other cool wins that actually hit us is Ben Affleck and Matt Damon when they're in like their young early 20s winning an Oscar for best screenplay for Good Will Hunting.
Yeah,
we talked about Heath Ledger, Trey Parker and Matt Stone when they got nominated for best song for Uncle Fucker.
Yeah,
and they didn't trust the bastards to sing the song, so they gave it to the great and late Robin Williams to sing it on stage, and that was just awesome. Seeing Robin Williams jump around and seeing that was just amazing. Blame Canada. I'm sorry, it wasn't Uncle Fucker.
Yeah,
it was Blame Canada. But it was also funny that when Matt and Trey showed up to the Oscars, they were dressed in drag.
They
wore like really expensive gowns that, you know, Jennifer Lopez or something wore the previous year or something like that. So they there's just fun things that do happen, you know, from time to time. Yeah, most things I got brought up here was just like, you know, we talked about Halle Berry. Well, that same year, Denzel Washington won an Oscar for Training Day.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck. Yeah. Which was just... I love that movie.
It was...
It stands time. Like, it was done over 10 years ago. I still watch it now thinking that shit's happening in the apartment I'm about to move into. And I was like,
Chris, it is.
It is. Yeah. I know.
It was an awesome story, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just a badass story. And he played that fucking dirty cop so
and
well.
And now, because of Training Day, you see a lot of, like, kind of, I don't want to say ripoff movies, but this kind of the same feel and grit of that movie.
Well, I think he started the trend, I think, to have, like, popular, you know, named actors kind of go into that grittier, darker, more real characters. I mean, we saw Liam Neeson step into Taken and stuff like that. Yeah. It was a role that you wouldn't see him get into, but they do get into it now. And it's like, fuck yeah, dude. It's
and they
cool.
pull it off.
They pull it off.
Yeah. Cool, because they're established actors. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it works.
Like, hey, maybe I'll play that bad guy character. Maybe I'll play that such and such character. Do you remember that John Hughes memorial when he passed away?
Yes, yes.
And they actually had like Molly Ringwald, Judd Nelson. They had all these guys.
They were
like,
so good of them to do that too.
Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. I mean, like, everybody was there just to kind of pay respect to, like, you know, the godfather of like those awesome comedies.
Yeah.
Did he do the Great Outdoors? Or that wasn't him?
No, John Hughes, he didn't direct Great Outdoors. He wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got so many good credits to his name that it's, man, that's a good episode for Pop Culture Rewind.
To reflect on just John Hughes films, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Because you can go one by one and just really...
Then die at the end.
Oh, come on.
That's the season, folks. See you in September.
Death. A lot of snubs happen also. I think Spielberg was actually denied 5 times.
God damn.
Till finally winning with Schindler's List. So you can just imagine E.T., God, Indiana Jones films. I mean, all these fucking
Raiders.
Countless
the classics.
Amazing, I mean, when Indiana Jones is winning over this and over that, it's all these visual effects. Never best director, which, you know, like this guy was doing heavy mainstream films like Jaws. I mean, he should win a best director.
Yeah, Jaws. Yeah,
but Schindler's List. He had to wait till fucking Schindler's List to win a best
and
director.
And that goes back to the Academy itself. Yeah. You know, they don't look for
how are you reflected, how are you noticed. I mean,
yeah, it's just like. It's almost like the more entertaining the movie is, the less chance you have of winning an Academy Award, you know?
It's everything has to be depressing now. You can't just go have an Oscar-nominated movie by just going something and having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Well, how many times does Scorsese get denied? How many Scorsese films do you, like, really enjoy watching? I mean, man, there's so many badass Scorsese films, like Goodfellas and all these other badass films, but he didn't win an Oscar until he did Departed. And that was just like, that was a remake film too, above all things.
He won an Oscar for Departed?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the first time he goes like, he wins the Oscar for Best Director of Departed. He goes, okay, can you check that card again to make sure make sure this isn't a mistake? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge win.
I know these great, well-known directors from...
Woody Allen won an award before Scorsese. I mean, I'm like, what fucking world do we live in where a Woody Allen film is like...
The Academy.
More acknowledged. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think the biggest punch in my face that I ever watched on the Oscars was Julia Roberts just made this film called Erin Brockovich.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's pretty much seen it, Erin Brockovich. Mm-hmm. But I was more blown away by this film called Requiem for a Dream. And the actress was Ellen Burstyn from Exorcist and stuff like that. Ellen Burstyn did this amazing portrayal of Jared Leto's mom. You know, and she gets into her own drug situation too, while she's trying. I don't know. She does this amazing role as playing this mom character. I thought she just had it.
It's
hands down.
It's more in depth. It's more in depth character than what just playing an actual person, Erin Brockovich. You know, that's just you're playing somebody.
Yeah.
Where Wrecking for a Dream, it's just
she created.
You're creating something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a big punch in my face because I was just like, God, I really want to see her win that fucking award for that. Just the acknowledgement of like what she achieved in that film was, it should have been.
You know what I consider a pretty big snub would be Edward Norton for American History X.
Oh, yeah.
Because that movie, if he wasn't in that movie, I think that's like all about him in that movie.
Do you remember seeing him in the movie at the very beginning when he's in the news and he's talking about his dad being hurt or killed, something like that? And he's just like real skinny, you know, gauntly little guy. And then like, man, you see him like later, he's just got the fucking huge swastika ripped out. And then seeing his
You see the transformation.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Especially when he gets in prison and stuff.
That should have won an award right
there. It is so great.
But yeah, this is the transformation of him. And that's not, you know, and that's not him. You know, he's playing a character. And if you, it's like what Chris was saying earlier, if you can escape and forget you're watching a movie and you're just seeing something, then that should...
You think it warrants some kind of, you know...
Recognition.
Exactly, especially... But no, the Academy's, elite snobs.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They have their own agendas and priorities and their payoffs.
It's about Nazis, so you think the Academy would have liked it, right?
No shit. No, wait, they're all Jews.
That's why you got... Yeah, that's why I got snubbed, yeah.
Well, we can't support this.
We keep talking like this. They'll pull this episode for.
Like, no, they mentioned us by our Jew names.
All right, so I think this is pretty fun. You know, talking about the Oscars coming around and seeing what just the this past years and just our thoughts on just the movies in general. So, mm-hmm. A big thanks to for Jeff for coming out and joining us on Pop Culture Rewind.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe we'll have you again one of these days. Maybe, I don't know.
I'll be around then.
Right. Chris, thanks for deciding to show up once.
Oh yeah. just gotta remind me, man. Like, one minute I'm in my boxers about to fall asleep, the next minute I'm on the freeway.
Like when I text you, said, hey, what time are you coming over?
Like, yeah, what time am I coming over?
Oh crap, is it tonight?
Today's Tuesday?
No, Chris, today's Friday. Should I be there in a minute?
I'm just trying to finish watching 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. But thanks for everybody for tuning in for this this episode. Hope you enjoyed our talks. If you want to chime in and join in our conversation, you're always welcome to join us on social media through Facebook, Twitter at PopCultureRWND. Also email us at PopCultureRewind@gmail.com. Shoot us a line. Tell us how we're doing. Go us on iTunes. Do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Give us subscribe to us. And give us a rate and review. Tell us how we're doing. Also on Stitcher, give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Tell your friends about us. So I think that's it. Y'all have anything else before we sign out for the night? Nope. All right. Well, all that being said, thanks once again. And always remember to pop your culture.
Hello. We are really honored to present the award for Best Song in a Motion Picture.
Songs have a magical power to transport us to a different time and place.
There is no greater weapon in a director's arsenal than a strategically placed song.
But there's one song that nobody wants to hear, the song they play when your acceptance speech has gone on too long. That's the song, that one.
And did you know it actually has lyrics? This is it. Your time is through.
You're boring. You're rambling on. No end in sight.
You're boring.
No need to thank your parakeet. You're boring.
Look at Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She's snoring. You could have rushed up to the stage, but you were lollygagging.
They're turning off your microphone and cutting to a commercial for Del Taco!
Del Taco!
Del Taco!
Del Taco!
I'm getting spoiled with Video On Demand.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just getting ridiculously spoiled.
Dude, I'm getting spoiled with Shoplifting.
What's that? That's free? Oh, that's cool. What's that, Snicker bar? Oh, yeah, it is. It's like, damn. Walgreens is a bomb. It's
like, they don't care.
It says king size, mom, but it's half empty.
It's bite size, right? That's what it means, right? Bite size.
The guy goes to, like, you go into the movie theater, it's like, it's like, whoa.
Dude, hell yeah,
you got
your own
fucking candy and that shit. These pictures are $3 for $3.
It's not my fault the Dollar Tree's next to the dollar movies.
There you go.
Nancy works at Dollar Tree, bam, boom.
You don't pay for shit, do you? Lift your leg up.
Shoot your beans, yeah.
Oh, lift your leg up so people think you're farting when you're really sneaking in that can. I'm telling you, man.
Man, you know all the tricks. God damn.
Dude, look at the color of my skin.
You hear the crumple of, like, the Jack in the Box taco coming out of the purse or something.
Dude, before the
light
rolled.
It's Kleenex. It's Kleenex.
Before the light rolled, it was me jumping on the back of the first truck I saw.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Yeah. All right. That was good. That was good. Got us in the moment, right? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the...
Okay, shit.
Whoa.
It's okay.
All right.
It's obvious.
I was stumbling. I was stumbling around with the numbers. I didn't know if I wanted to put the number in there.
It's obvious he's weighing us down. Why don't you go get us a pie from Little Caesars and we'll start the show. You just hop on in with
Thanks.
You.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
Welcome to...
He tried doing that so many times on Houston.
I'm trying to think where the fuck that would even come. What is that from? What are you mimicking?
No, Abel.
Abel,
oh,
really?
Welcome to the United States. Oh, God. I'm like, Vatican.
Then you're doing fucking Benicio del Toro's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yeah.
We're all really impressed by your enthusiasm.
We'll get a show started eventually at one of these points. All right.